I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle moon on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Softly smile, I know she must be kind. In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's by my
there. My name is Murray. I'm with my co-host Corey, and we are The Real Guys. This is Sign Radio, and this is The Real Show with two E's. The music you just heard was Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys from 1966. What was that year like, Corey?
Very good, very good. And then to Smooth again, which is what I said last week.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of years.
Smooth.
A lot of years of smooth band.
A lot of smooth years. Good Vibrations was featured in the Doctor Who episode Revelation of the Daleks, which aired on the 23rd and 30th of March in 1985. If you can't guess, folks, this is another episode of our plethora of Doctor Who featured episodes coming out this week. Yeah, it's coming out for the next few weeks. It was the sixth and final serial of a two-parter that ended the 22nd series of Colin Baker's Sixth Doctor run. Very interesting, that, what you say, Corey.
Yeah, I mean, you know, good old Colin Baker.
Relevation of the Daleks. What was the relevation? Relevation. Revelation.
Yes, keep saying it.
I'm going to keep saying the incorrect. It's no longer revelation. It's now relevation.
Yeah, you'll get there eventually.
Yeah, right. Well, today, people, we will be recapping our favourite Doctor Who episodes, and we'll also be giving you a very special movie versus, pitting all of the Doctors against each other.
Yes.
So, but first off, we're going to go in with, we're going to jump right into it, Corey, why don't we? We're going to jump right into it, we're going to tingle our molecules, and we're going to hit it with the top three Doctor Who episodes of our own choice.
Yes, indeedy.
Have you selected your three?
I have three.
But we will start off with an honourable mention, perhaps.
Yes.
Now, when we're putting these lists together, we thought that we'd have an honourable mention, just to make sure we don't omit anything that we wanted to keep in the list, because I was like debating what my number three would be, but then I wanted one and I couldn't have it because I thought, oh, this episode is better because I enjoy it a bit more.
Yeah.
So I have it in honourable mention. So do you want to start off with your honourable mention?
I would indeed. So my honourable mention is The Unquiet Dead. This is an Eccleston episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one, for anyone who might know it, it's one with Charles Dickens.
All right.
It's one with Dickens. I do quite enjoy it when Doctor Who kind of like brings in actual people who are real. And in fact, we'll get more on that later.
Yeah, one of my episodes is that as well.
Yes, exactly. I don't think it'll be the same one, though. But I love when it does that. And it's essentially just, it's Dickens, it's Eccleston, and it's good fun. It involves ghosts. They're the main enemies in this, essentially, spirits. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you couldn't guess, it's Bringing Back the Dead is the plot of this episode.
Yes.
And it's just great fun. It's just Eccleston essentially fanboying over Dickens because he's, oh, I've just met Charles Dickens. And then Rose does not care in the slightest. And it's great. It's good fun. It's not as serious as his other episodes, but I kind of prefer it for that. It shows his goofy side a little bit, and it's quite good.
All right. That's a very good pick. How many reels would you give it?
I would give it a solid 7.
Right. We're going to reel all of these, dear listener, if you're listening. We're going to reel off all of these. That should be a new phrase. We can reel off the reels.
Yeah.
We're going to reel off on these episodes. We're going to give you our reels. So my honourable mention is The Day of the Doctor.
Okay, nice.
Which was the sort of crossover episode between Matt Smith, David Tennant, and John Hurt's War Doctor, I believe.
Yes.
The Day of the Doctor is... It probably should have been higher on my list, but... I thought that it's an episode that needs to be talked about, and I'm often surprised that people don't talk about it a bit more.
I mean, to be fair, I forgot that it existed, but it's generally
it marks Doctor Who's 50th anniversary.
Yeah, I love it. I just kind of forgot it was on there.
Yeah, written by Stephen Moffat. It's a special episode of Doctor Who, and I think it wasn't it aired in theatres?
I believe so. I mean, I watched it on TV like normal, but yeah,
right,
I think it was.
It features David Tennant's Doctor, Matt Smith's Doctor, and John Hurt's The War Doctor as well.
Tom Baker makes an appearance as well.
Yes, he does. Tom Baker shows up as the curator at the end.
Yes, right at the end.
Very cool there. I think the curator was supposed to be kind of like an older version of the Doctor, almost.
I think it is.
I think it's like an older fifth Doctor, I suppose.
I think it's an older one who's not necessarily given up. He's just kind of having a break, I guess.
Yeah. The enemy are the Zygons.
Yeah.
Who show up there? They're big, you know, purple monsters. The Daleks also make an appearance, Rose Tyler shows up as well, again.
She does.
As sort of the bad wolf entity with the War Doctor. And we have Clara as the companion of Matt Smith's 11th. So overall, it's a very thought-provoking episode.
Yeah.
Because it's a crossover. And back in the day, during Classic Who, you wouldn't really get crossovers between Doctors. Like, you wouldn't have William Hartnell running around with with Colin Baker. With Pete Davidson, you know. But here, because we're all sort of in the same sort of the 21st century, let's call it, we have David Tennant and Matt Smith who can go around together with John Hurt. So
Yeah, it's one of the rare times where you actually do get two Doctors. I can only ever think of two other instances where that's happened.
All right, and what are those instances?
It's David Tennant and... Oh, I can't remember. It's the one who
Pete
always...
Pete Davidson?
A... Yes, one always had a salary on him.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Capaldi Christmas... It wasn't New Year's, I think, because they changed it for a year. It was a Christmas special, and that was him and... It was supposed to be William Hartnell.
It was William Hartnell. It was David Bradley as William Hartnell, which is a bit of a weird connection to An Adventure in Space and Time.
Yeah.
If you've seen that, I'd recommend it. Go out and watch it. Any Doctor Who fan, go out and watch An Adventure in Space and Time. But it's kind of like almost a biopic of how Doctor Who was made.
Yeah.
And it had David Bradley as William Hartnell or the First Doctor. But he was playing him.
Very well. Yeah.
He did, yes.
Very well.
But that is my honourable mention. My honourable mention is the Day of the Doctor, and I will give it 8 reels.
Nice, solid.
That was a fast decision. So let's go to your number 3 then.
Yep, so I've kind of got this in an order. You'll probably guess what I've done by the first one.
Okay.
So my number 3 is The Lost Child.
Right, okay. I'm not familiar with the episode.
Okay, well, I can probably make you familiar with 3 words. Murray, and I never thought I'd say this, but I think I need to. Murray, are you my mummy? That's 4 words.
Oh, yes. It's that one. Right, I'm immediately familiar.
It's one of his last, it's not his last episode, I think it's like 2 or 3 before his last one. It's, I feel like, one of the enemies of the Doctor and just never gets mentioned.
Right. But like, what is the name
generally,
of it? I just think it's just the gas-mask child.
It is just for Lost. It is because called The Lost Child.
Right, okay.
And it's just one of the weirdest, kind of creepy, but not as creepy as like a Weeping Angel or anything, because you never really see a kid wearing a gas mask around. But
yeah,
it is also one of the whole things of like, but it's completely emotionless and you can't see the face at all.
Yeah, and I think, doesn't it like turn your face into a gas mask face?
Yes, there's the one scene which I thought was somewhat funny because the effects aren't great, but other people aren't, were scared of it, where the Doctor's face, like the gas mask comes through his mouth.
Yeah.
Face morphs.
I remember that.
I feel like if they could have done it better, it would have been more effective, but it's still a really kind of good...
It's a creepy effect.
Yeah, exactly. It's very weird. And obviously you have like... In my head, it's 2 parts. I've got a feeling it's technically 2 episodes because I think it ends with him telling the child to go to his room.
Right.
And then I think the second one starts. It's very weird.
Okay. Doesn't David Tennant like make a reference to it during his series?
I believe so.
During the Sontaran episode where he's wearing a gas mask.
Yes. Right. I love the episode. It's great. It's really good.
So, and what would you rate it? What would you reel it?
7.5.
Oh, nice one.
Just above.
My number 3 features your favourite Doctor.
Oh.
Matt Smith.
Oh, good old Matt Smith.
We've got Vincent and the Doctor.
Okay.
Are you familiar with this episode at all?
I am.
Right. It's not on your top 3, is it?
It is.
Oh, my God. Right. Well, it's my number 3. Vincent and the Doctor. Purely because of the last, like, 10, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
The scene that's somewhat become rather infamous. Where he takes Vincent van Gogh to the art museum, and Bill Nighy gives that very inspired, very knowledgeable speech on Vincent van Gogh, and you sort of see him tear up because the whole story of his life was so tragic in believing that he would never be an inspired artist. Yeah. And he'd never be a great artist, and he thought of himself as a failure up until he committed suicide. But I think that episode, especially the ending of the episode, rewrites history in a very good way, just to make sure to see all the people that was like looking at his work and to hear the words of Bill Nighy saying that he was one of the best, possibly the best painters ever to exist. One of the people in that generation who defined that generation. And who define an entire style of art? I've got to say that Vincent and the Doctor is a fantastic episode, and I mean that in every sense of the word. I also we've got Amy again, and I'm never gonna turn down a bit of Amy Pond. So I take that as well. And Matt Smith's Doctor really seems to just really shines. He's got such a He's got such an energy. He's got such a way that he sort of moves around and very sort of quirky. And I like that. Especially during the moment where he's sort of interacting with Bill Nye, interacting with Vincent and with Amy. So I think they've got some very good dynamics in Smith's run. And his Doctor really is a fantastic focal point. So yeah, that is Vincent and the Doctor. And that is 8.5 reels.
Solid. Solid choice.
Your number two.
So, I was umming and ahhing about number two. Mm. I think what was going to be my number two is going to either be your number two or maybe even your number one. So I thought, okay, you know what? I'll pick a different episode. I'll pick the other one. So I've gone for my number two, The Girl in the Fireplace.
Right. I think I know this one.
It's the one where it's like set in like Victorian or Edwardian times. It's like the clockwork people.
Oh, yeah, the clockwork men. I think I know this one.
Yes, and like, one, it's just one of my favorites because I love the design of the clockwork joke people. It's great. I love them.
Yeah.
And again, it's like The Lost Child. They, like, never come back. There's one other clockwork person who comes back at a later date, but he doesn't look like the other ones.
Right.
I can't remember. It's called, like, Half-Face Man or something. It's a very weird name.
Right.
But I love this episode. It's got the whole thing of like, there's a girl behind the fireplace. Who would have guessed it? And I think this is the one where David Tennant has a horse and he wants to keep the horse.
David Tennant has a horse,
and that's quite funny. He walks in wearing a bandana, and like it's almost like he's trying to be like a cool kid, but he's not.
Yeah,
and he knows he's old. Very weird. It's a very kind of comical, but almost emotional thing. It's a very weird blend. I'm mainly picking it just because I love the design of the drawer. I think they're great.
Right,
it's so good.
Are they the ones with like some sort of white sort of mask faces?
Yeah.
And they have those weird like Edwardian Victorian style bodies with the clockwork stuff underneath.
Yeah, they've got the weird like masquerade.
Yeah, outfits. Masquerade sort of mask. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I know them. They would have been cool to come back, actually. I would like to see them come back.
I would love to see them come back. I find it great.
My number two is...
Do I give it... No, you know what? Okay, I'm going to give it... I'm going to give it an eight.
Well, as I was saying...
Why not?
My number two is... Sorry to cut you off there, but I was like... I was too consumed by talking about my second one, which I'm a big fan of.
Okay.
Arguably, my number one and my number two could have been in the same spot. They could have easily been switched around multiple ways. But my number two is The Sound of Drums, which is the episode where the Doctor is in his climactic battle with the Master. Right? Now, I went on and on last week about how much I like John Sim Master.
Yes.
And I still do, by the way. But I think he's at his zenith in this episode. He's at his peak of crazy, maniacal, enigmatic master style. And I love watching that. He's such a fun watch, John Sim. He's playing it to a T. He's bringing his A game. And I love that. There's David Tennant again, who is many people's favorite Doctor, mine included. We've got Martha. We've got... Martha's family, we've got Captain Jack, we've got all the favourites are back. I'd arrived there. Wow. I'm a poet and I didn't even know that I was. So we've got John Sim Master as the villain, who is fantastic. We've got those big like the ball things from the episode where everyone went into the space. Utopia. There's an episode of Utopia that preceded this. And in Utopia, people went up into like a spaceship and went into space, and they all got turned into those like the ball creatures who look like the interrogation droid from Star Wars.
Yeah.
But I can't think of the name of them. Oh, what is it? It's like it's the Toclophane, isn't it?
Yes.
But it's revealed that it's just a made-up name, and the species doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
It's revealed that the Toclophane is just a made-up name. And the species of the balls don't really exist.
Yeah.
And the balls have like spikes on them and like injectors and stuff and needles and stuff like that. and they go around and murdering people and they can shoot people and stuff like that. And then they get the president, don't they? The president of the US arrives to like try and take over the operation of meeting these aliens. And then the master, who is in disguise as Harold Saxon, the prime minister, takes over and is revealed to be the master, and like has his laser screwdriver, which I think is so cool. If there's one toy that I'd want from Doctor Who, it'd be the laser screwdriver, because I think it's so cool.
I mean, it probably is.
Like, you have the sonic screwdriver that can just like open doors and like blow up stuff. Laser screwdriver, you can shoot people with it.
Yeah, true.
You've got a laser. Even though they got rid of the effect in the episode when Johnson Master came back with Missy.
Yeah.
They got rid of the effect, so it doesn't like shoot anything anymore. It just has like the sound and the light. That's not fun. You want a laser? We need more lasers in Doctor Who. Where are the lasers?
They'll come back.
What, lasers?
Yeah.
Oh, I need more lasers. Where are more lasers for Doctor Who? I said laser enough yet? We need more of them. So yeah, that is my number two pick. The Sound of Drums, and I'm gonna give nine reels.
Okay, fair enough. Well, my number one was your number three.
Oh.
which is Vincent and the Doctor.
Right. Well, can you speak any more to it then?
Yes, I'll add some stuff on. So also, if you didn't realise, I basically just picked my favourite episode of each Doctor.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I'm going for a more sort of story villain standpoint.
Yeah, so like, so obviously number three was Eccleston, number two was Tennant, and number one is Matt Smith. So, like Murray said, it's essentially just they go back in time and they meet Vincent van Gogh, and then he, if I remember correctly, he's seeing this, like, demon.
Yes.
And that's kind of why everyone thinks he's weird.
Yeah, I know that. In real life, painting.
Yes, because in real life he has like mental issues, but in the story they basically say, "Oh, he sees a demon thing, and no one else believes him, and that's why he's seen it like this weird person." Mm-hmm. But yeah, the main thing I think is it's one of them, and one of the only times I think Doctor Who really gets like properly emotional.
Yeah,
I think it's also because it's a real life thing. If Vincent van Gogh would have been some random made up painter. Like, I don't know, Tony Smith or something.
Tony Smith, yeah, the famous,
yes. And met Tony Smith, this artist that doesn't exist, and then brought him back into the future to show him his work, I don't think it would have worked. I think
the famous Dutch painter, Tony Smith.
I think because it's Van Gogh and everyone knows who he is and everyone knows the story of him, it's more impactful. It works more. And again, it's like I said, I love it when they bring in actual people. I think every single Doctor's had someone.
The big figures from history.
Yeah.
Because it's space and time, so they can go back in time.
Yeah, because obviously Eccleston had what one I mentioned before. And then Tennant had Shakespeare, I believe. And then Matt Smith had Van Gogh.
Yeah.
Don't know about Capaldi. He must have done.
I think Capaldi did have some kind of historical figure, but I don't remember what that
figure Whitaker's was. Had loads.
Yeah. I do know that.
But no, I love it. I think it's great. I think it's such an emotional episode. It's such a heart-wrenching and gripping story. And that's why I might see an agreement with you, and I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Right, okay, cool.
So we are both in agreement with that one.
That is good. Well, I think... Especially Van Gogh was such a figure to bring in.
Yeah,
I think he's such a figure who've had this very storied and very influential art career, but didn't even know it at the time. Never knew it. He collected over 2,000 paintings and never even knew what his work would become. And taking him forward into the future like that really creates this very, like you said, heart-wrenching moment and very emotional moment. So.
Yeah, I mean, also he's played perfectly.
Yeah, it is the guy. I can't think of his name at the minute, but the person who plays him, the emotion that you can see him welling up. You see him realizing this as Bill Nye is giving this very impassioned speech. You can really sort of see it in his eyes, see the emotion building. So
yeah,
That is. I assume that's why it's your number one.
Exactly. That's why it's
right. My number one.
Yeah.
I was wondering whether you could guess, Corey. Well,
I think if it's what I'm thinking, this is what was going to be my number two.
Right. Okay. My number one is the parting of the ways.
Okay.
Was that going to be your number two?
No.
Oh, what was your number two?
I thought you were going to say Blink. I thought one of us was going to mention.
Oh, that. No, we're not going to mention Blink. Blink was going to be my honorable mention.
Oh, really?
Before Day of the Doctor turned up, Blink was going to be my honorable mention. I thought, oh, well, I need something with Tennant in it. I need Tennant. Oh, well, I've got Sound of Drums. I can't really have. Oh, but then I could use Blink. Yeah. Oh, but then I thought, oh, I need to put some Smith in there. And I thought, oh, I need to mention John Hurt's War Doctor because he's so amazing. So then I put in Day of the Doctor because I kind of heard all three. So, But Parting of the Ways, one, because I needed some Eccleston in there. And two, because the Parting of the Ways did so much to redefine Doctor Who as we know it. Yeah. I think Parting of the Ways did so much to redefine Doctor Who, not only the new series, like people thought this wouldn't even get off the ground. People thought, oh, Doctor Who's coming back. Oh, it's not come back for like 20 years. They'll never bring it back, you know. But Parting of the Ways was that real smack in the face to say, yes, Doctor Who is back and it is bigger and it is better than ever. So we've got Rose. She gets her destiny, as I said, as Bad Wolf. She does so, really becomes a hero and really grows with the Doctor as well. And we see the Doctor's loyalty and the Doctor's passion and the Doctor's aggression as well in taking on the Daleks, who are the greatest Doctor Who enemy. And I say that without any hyperbole whatsoever. And also we have the Dalek Emperor, who was just come straight out of the 60s and 70s. He's redesigned, looks like this massive, like, is this huge, a building-sized sort of Dalek terminal with this massive head, massive dome, and sort of massive, like, slats with the bumps on them. He's got that really deep voice as well. And he's not, like, he doesn't have any casing. He's just sat in this, like, test tube. His sort of mutant thing is sat in the test tube, and you can see the sort of practical... That is a practical effect, by the way. Yep. The shot of the Dalek Emperor in sort of the test tube, his one eye and his big sort of pulsing gelatinous mass is a practical effect, and I love it, and you can see it, and the voice is spot on perfect. It is so deep, and it is like it's so deep and so resonant, and all of the lines are just, and the fact that the Emperor sees himself as this massive god of all the Daleks, and he created this new Dalek army from, like, people, from half-human, which I don't think, according to the Whittaker's newest special, but I don't think that's... I don't think that's makes you a legitimate Dalek, but... Because apparently if Daleks get infected with humans, they're impure. But I think because it was done under the Dalek Emperor, that makes it fine, I suppose. Probably. Well, that was his plan. That was the Dalek Emperor's plan. He, like, took in, after the Time War, they went to Earth, and they sort of took in all, like, the prisoners and, like, the refugees and stuff of Earth, and, like, millions of people, and they turned them all into Daleks.
Yeah.
So, also, I like how the Dalek Emperor is sort of the big command ship. In fact, he can't really move. Like, he's got no, he can't, like, you know, move around. So he is, like, stuck in the ship, and he is sort of, like, the big ship. I like that design as well. That's not really touched on, but I do like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is my number one. I've not talked about Eccleston at all. I probably should do. But he is on fire form, as always. Also, number one and number two both have Captain Jack in it.
Interesting.
Because Parting of the Ways does have Captain Jack in it as well. So
none of mine do.
Oh, come on. Get some love for Barrowman.
But, no, it's great.
Yeah.
It's my honourable... No, I didn't. I don't think any of mine do.
No, fair enough then. Well, we both have Rose in ours, and we both have Eccleston, Smith, and Tennant.
Yeah.
You need some more War Doctor. Get some of that in there. But anyway, we have Parting of the Ways. Eccleston is just great as always. He has such a fire, such an aggression. He's very, very angry, Doctor. But you like that. You like that he's, you know, fueled from memories of the Time War. He is really giving it his all. So I'm going to give Parting of the Ways 9 reels.
Nice.
And that tops off our top three.
It does.
I believe. That reels off our top three. We're going to reel off the top three.
And that brings us into the next section.
It does. The next segment of this fantastical episode, of this brilliant episode, we have... am I using enough adjectives? Is that all right?
I think you need a couple more.
Yeah. So next we have
yep.
Movie Versus. Now, for the regular listeners of The Real Show, they will know that Movie Versus is here on Sign Radio. They will know that Movie Versus is a battle of the ages. It will pit your favorite characters together, and there can only be one winner. Now,
yes. We
have six Doctors. We're not going all the way back to Hartnell and to Baker and McGann and whatnot. Maybe we'll do them another day. But
yeah. Now
we have what is known as the New Who Doctors. So we have six Doctors. There can only be one winner. As you know, the rules of Movie Versus. All Movie Versus battles must take place in an open basketball court. And why is that?
Because it's a fair playing ground. No one has a high ground. No one has an advantage.
No. It's for an even playing field. It's a basketball court.
Exactly.
It's gone to the point where I don't even remember why we chose a basketball court in the first place.
We're now just
saying we have because it's an even field of play. As we know about the Doctor does not use weapons, in the words of the Daleks. So he's not going to have any weapons on him, no gadgets. Nope. But our sonic screwdriver is going to be allowed.
You see, I was thinking that, but and I was
put
also
this in
like...
my notes. I put this in my notes. I put, are sonic screwdrivers allowed? Are they?
But then all I'm thinking is, I don't even think they'd serve much purpose.
Well, there's not much they can really do with them.
Exactly.
But I suppose they can have them anyway.
I mean, they could hit people with them.
But they're not really a blunt force weapon, though, are they?
No.
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see the Doctor just smack someone around with his sonic screwdriver.
I mean, I think if anyone was going to do that, Matt Smith would have the advantage, because I swear his is like the biggest sonic screwdriver.
Yeah, his has like his can like pop out, can't it?
Yeah, his extends.
His extends war. I think I've got Matt Smith's screwdriver anyway, because his was the cool green one, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
His like glowed green, and it the thing could like pop out, and he'd like look at it and stuff, and like put his ear to it. That was really cool. Anyway, sonic screwdrivers will be allowed, but you can't have a TARDIS.
Nope.
No TARDIS is allowed, even though it's not a weapon or it's not like a vehicle, for want of a better word, but. It is an asset, and we can't allow that.
Yeah.
Also, no companions. You're not allowed a friend with you.
No.
You're just Doctors, right? Now that we've ruled that all out, would you like to meet our combatants?
I think they would.
We have six, if I'm correct. We do have six.
Yeah.
We're starting off with the ninth Doctor, Christopher Eccleston. Now, he's only had a tenure of one series, but I think he's going to be a heavy hitter in this battle.
I think he is indeed.
They're all going to be heavy hitters. Then we have the 10th Doctor, David Tennant.
Yep.
He's got a long run. He's got the skills. He's got the moves. He's got the grooves. I think he can go long in this battle as well. Then we've got Matt Smith. You know, he's styling. He's profiling. He's got his bow tie, his fancy screwdriver. I think he's going to be very quick on the battlefield.
Yes.
Then we've got the 12th Doctor, Peter Capaldi.
Mm.
He's a bit more of a veteran. He was the same age as William Hartnell when he first took the role. So I think we're going to be looking at a bit of a mainstay, maybe a bit more of a brawler, but I think Peter Capaldi's going to do well. Then we've got the 13th Doctor. We've got Jodie Whittaker. She's fresh. Yeah. She's new. She's in there. A lot of energy. We're going to see how she does in the fight. Then we've got the War Doctor. I had to bring him in. He is a New Who Doctor, so we're bringing in the War Doctor, John Hurt, RIP. He is going to be a real destroyer in this fight. So, who are you backing at the start? They're all there. They're all in their outfits. They've got their trench coats, their hats, their coats, their ties, their suspenders.
I would. Yeah, okay. I think I know. I think I know who I've got. I think I
right. Who is? But first off, we have to realize. There's going to be a lot of tension on the field. Normally, when Doctors work together, they're a bit, you know, they like to one-up each other.
Yeah, very rarely they actually get along.
Yeah. So, it's kind of begrudgingly, but there's going to be a lot of tension on the field. Tennant's going to be looking at Smith.
Yeah.
He's going to be looking at Capaldi.
Yeah.
You know, the War Doctor's going to be eyeing up the Ninth Doctor, ready to take him down. So who's going to bite the dust first? Who's going to go down first in the battle? A movie versus the Gallifrey Battle Royale.
Okay, so I reckon... I think first is going to be one of two people. And I hate to say this, because he is my favourite. One, I don't think Matt Smith was lasting very long in general.
Oh, no!
But I think first it's going to either be him or it's going to be Whittaker.
Right, okay.
The main reason of both of them aren't really the aggressive or the scrappy or the whatever type.
No, no. Eccleston is going to be out there immediately.
Yep.
He has got a bone to pick. He has got bridges to burn. He is going to be out there slugging one like you wouldn't believe. He's going to hit Matt Smith with the slug. He's going to hit Matt Smith with stuff he can't, you know, defend. I think Eccleston's going to have to take down Matt Smith.
Yeah.
I think that's got to be the first play. And I'm sorry, Corey. I'm sorry that your favorite isn't winning it, but.
He's not my favourite to win. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Well, let's give Smith his credit. He's got a couple of good series. He's had a few good moments, but I don't think he's equipped in this fight. He's not equipped in the battle royal here. So, okay.
So I said Matt Smith or Whittaker will go first. So
right.
How are you feeling about Whittaker going second?
Yeah, Whittaker can easily go second. Matt Smith takes out first. He's no match for Christopher Eccleston. He's no match for the Ninth Doctor. The 13th Doctor is going to have to be going down second. Maybe she sort of tries to dodge and move and weave, but there's no defense against Christopher Eccleston and his fists of rage. She's gonna get taken out next by the Ninth Doctor.
Yeah,
and I think by the War Doctor as well. I think the War Doctor, John Hurt, he's a bit of a dark horse, isn't he?
He is.
He's a bit of a dark horse. You're not really expecting him. He sneaks up from behind, takes you down. You're not going to expect the War Doctor. He's been fighting in the Time War. He's been fighting against the Daleks. He's a veteran. And he's ready to go. He's ready to fight. But we've got to consider. We've got as we said during. As we said during the Batman episode, when we did the Batman movie versus, do you remember? We measured them by the strength of their enemies.
Yes.
We measured how long they'd last in the fight by who they were fighting, who they fought against. They fought against the Jokers and Two-Faces and whatnot. But here, they've all sort of faced round about the same threat level, I'd say.
I mean, obviously, I would say Tennant's probably faced the most, only because he's had the most seasons.
Yeah, Tennant's faced the most opponents. But I'd say you sort of face, when you're the Doctor, you know you're going to get hit with the Cybermen, you know you're going to get hit with, the Daleks.
They've all faced the Daleks, exactly, and the Cybermen.
They've all faced the Cybermen, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they have all faced the Cybermen.
I think Tennant's the only one who's faced the Weeping Angels.
Yeah, Tennant's faced the Weeping Angels.
The ones who've left.
Tennant and Capaldi have both faced Davros. Tennant and Whittaker have faced the Master.
Yeah, well, she's not around anymore.
No, she's not. She's not. But I think John Smith. Who's John Smith? I think John Sim's Master is much more intense than Whittaker, than the person that played Whittaker's Master. I can't remember his name.
I mean, you're fair, you're close. John Smith is the Doctor's fake name.
Oh, damn. Well, I think John Sim's Master is much more intense than the Master that Whittaker went against. So, and had much grander schemes as well. I'm not sure what the plan of the Master, the 13th Doctor's Master was. But I mean, know
Capaldi had a Master as well. But
oh, yeah, Missy. Sorry, I'm not counting... Oh God, I'm very sorry, Missy fans. I do like her. He did face Missy, so I think Capaldi is very strapping in this fight.
He is.
Capaldi has a lot going for him, and he's like Eccleston. He's got a lot of passion. He's got a lot of rage. He's got a lot of fire and anger in him. So I think he can really, really go in this fight. I think he's gonna be sizing up Christopher Eccleston right about now.
I mean, who's okay? So who's who? We got War Doctor, we've got Capaldi, we've got Tennant, we've got Eccleston.
Yeah, top someone's final someone's four. Smith and Whittaker have gone down in pretty quick succession.
Yeah.
I think I've got to say it might be Eccleston.
Really?
Tennant has this... he's good at running. Tennant is very fast. He does a lot of running, doesn't he?
Yes. Where
he likes to run. Yes. Well, he's wearing his Converse sneakers, so he's very fast. He's very quick on his feet. So
right, okay.
I think Tennant's going to be able to sort of dodge and be very nimble. He's going to be throwing quips out there. He's going to be saying Alan Z. You know, he's good in this. But I think Christopher Eccleston, he's a pretty firm target. And I think War Doctor Capaldi, they're sort of on the same side. They're on the same sort of wavelength. I think they might take him down together.
Okay.
What are you thinking? We've measured them by their opponents. They've all sort of had the same. Tennant's had a bit more. Capaldi's had quite a lot to deal with as well. I think they're going to be sort of the fight's moving on, and they're going to have to step it up in terms of performance here.
You see, this is where okay, but there's in my head there was two people that would win this.
Right. Okay.
I won't say one of them. One of them's still in it. The other one was Eccleston.
Right. Okay. You think Eccleston might prevail here?
Only because in my head, I'm also thinking. Well, there's two things. One, Capaldi's faced a lot of different enemies that the other ones haven't.
He has.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Right. But also, Eccleston, I think you might disagree with this. I would feel like Eccleston and Tennant both lost. Well, we all lost Rose, but Eccleston and Tennant lost her.
Yeah.
In their series, and I think Eccleston would have more of a fight because of that than Tennant would.
Well, not only have you got to think of their adversaries, you've also got to think of what they've lost. Like, what can they take? What can they take in this fight? Eccleston's lost Rose, but Tennant has also lost Rose in a way.
Yeah.
Now, Capaldi has lost Clara and Missy and Bill. So I think Capaldi is definitely equipped to handle that emotional turmoil of this battle. And John Hurt being alive in the Time War is hard enough as it is.
Yeah, John Hurt's the one I'm struggling with because it's like, who's he faced? We don't know.
We know he's faced the Daleks.
Yeah.
In the Time War. And they can be a very, in great numbers, they can be a very tough adversary, very deadly opponent. But I think with John Hurt, we're sort of doing it more on the attitude. The fact he's this very grizzled veteran, you know he's seen some stuff, but we don't know exactly what he's seen.
Yeah.
I think he's also faced the Sontarans. I think there was a big Finnish drama where he faced the Sontarans.
Right.
As did Tennant.
Yeah.
So, and Smith's just sort of in parts. But I think, we know he's faced the Sontarans. He did so in the big Finnish audio drama. He's faced a lot of Daleks. So I think with John Hurt, we're going more on the attitude, more on the persona, more on the fact that he is this veteran and he's the War Doctor. So he's not got a number.
Yeah.
So that speaks for itself, I think. And I think, I know, but I don't want to bring down John Hurt this soon because I know he's got a lot in the tank.
I'm not saying we're bringing John Hurt down.
Right.
I don't know. It's.
Is it going to be Tennant?
I'm thinking it's Tennant or Capaldi.
Oh, right. Oh, no, you've really hit me here because I like both of them. I like both of them a lot. And I know we're not thinking. This isn't a game of favourites, I'm just going to say.
Yeah, listeners. Yeah. I like Matt Smith and he went first.
Exactly. This is not a game of favourites, listeners. We are not just picking our favourites to win. I know Kermit the Frog won on the Christmas one and we were backing him to the end. But with movie versus in the Gallifrey Battle Royal, we will not be picking favourites. So I'm going to say David Tennant will have to go down next.
Okay.
He's just not ready. He's faced a lot. He's lost a lot as well. But against these heavy hitters like Capaldi and Hurt and Eccleston, he's not going to be a match for all three of them at the same time. So down, he's going to have to...
Down goes Tennant. He didn't want to Tennant. Go.
But get beat down, get taken down. He is, he's, you know, next week's news. So
I'm glad I got that line in there.
Oh, nice. What did you say?
I said he didn't want to go, but he did.
Oh, no.
That's his thing. I don't want to go.
That is a savage line, Corey. he had to. He didn't want to go, but he had to. He had to go. Next.
Okay.
Now it's getting interesting.
Yeah.
Because Capaldi, Eccleston, and John Hurt are very similar doctors in a way. So it's sort of whittling it down to who has the least survivability.
I think at this stage, I wouldn't mind if Eccleston went.
Really? Okay.
I think now he's got top three, I think that's fine.
Okay. You think you're happy with top three? Do you think Eccleston might go all the way?
He's one of my picks. He's one of my two picks.
Who is? I'm very interested to know who your other pick is. You're not going to say because he's still in the. Is he still in?
Well, yeah, he's still in it.
Right. Okay.
You've got a 50-50 chance of guessing the other one.
Oh god, I'm going to get the wrong one, aren't I? If I guess, I'm not going to guess. Then I'm not going to guess.
Put it this way: if your pick isn't Eccleston because you're wanting him gone, so we either have the same other pick or we don't.
Right. Well, I'm not going to guess who your second pick is. I know your first pick is Eccleston to win. I also have a pick to win.
Okay, so I'm fine with Eccleston going.
And yes, he is still in it. My pick is still in the Vince. Is still in. I said it at the start of the Battle of Royals as well. I said at the start of the Battle Royal who I sort of hinted who I wanted to win.
Yeah.
But I think Peter Capaldi, he's got a lot going for it in this fight, and he has a lot to run on. He has a lot of energy, he's very wiry, he's very tough.
Yeah,
so I think Peter Capaldi might outlast Eccleston.
Yeah, very smart as well.
Yeah, he is very intelligent doctor. I think he might outlast Eccleston. I think he might be able to take Eccleston out just with like his wits. Like he might outwit him. He might, you know, trip him over. He might do something. I don't know. I think Capaldi, he'll do something smart. He'll like, you know, outwit him. He'll like, he'll give him a complex riddle and Eccleston won't know how to figure it out. And then Peter Capaldi will jump him from behind. So that's what's going to happen. And complex riddle.
Worst leaves two.
Now, at least, yes, we now have Peter Capaldi and we have John Hurt. I'm going to come right out and say it. I'm behind the War Doctor.
That was my other pick.
Was it?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Was John Hurt?
My pick, John Hurt, the War Doctor. I've got to go. I'm sorry, I've really got to back John Hurt in this.
Yeah, to be fair, I think I'm on the same page.
I can't believe that we're picking the Doctor who has the least screen time.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that's why. It's a mystery. He's the only one that's been. I mean, technically, you could argue, because the other thing I see, we didn't realize, is also you could argue that technically Whittaker would be the best, because even though she's not faced the most, she's been through all the incarnations. So technically, she has, because she'll remember all of them. But let's not get into that.
Yeah.
The War Doctor, in terms of just their runs, is the only one who was in the Time War.
Yes.
He survived the Time War.
Yes.
So, like, he has that mystery of, we don't know what he faced, we don't know what he did, we don't know how he won it, but he's there.
And there's all those stories. Christopher Eccleston talks constantly about the Time War, and David Tennant talks constantly about the Time War as well. They all talk constantly about the Time War.
Yes, but none of them were there.
None of them were there, but John Hurt Doctor was there. Exactly. The War Doctor was there. And yeah, we don't know what he faced. Sure, we know some of it from Big Finish, and we know some of it from Day of the Doctor, and we know some of it from slightly from Paul McGann's run as the Eighth Doctor.
I like how we both picked John Hurt, and we're still trying to argue why he wins.
Yeah, we still continue it like it's a debate, but I think John Hurt, he's got the grizzled feel, he's got the feel of the veteran, he's got the fight, he's got the toughness, he's got the roughness. I think he can really take down Peter Capaldi, he can nail him, he can take him out. So I think John Hurt is he's tough. He's tough and wiry like an old turkey, and he's ready to he's ready to do the deeds. Also, we should mention that John Hurt's War Doctor has probably done some pretty dark stuff.
Yeah, he probably has.
Like, we don't know, like, but he's got that feeling. He's got that feel about him, especially in Day of the Doctor, like I mentioned. He's got that feeling where you know he's seen a lot. You know he's done a lot, but you don't know what he's done. You know he could have done some real heinous stuff, but it's like he's still trucking on. He's still moving on. So that's why I think the War Doctor has to win this.
Yeah.
The War Doctor is the champion, is the winner of this movie versus. He is the winner of the Gallifrey Battle Royal. And also, it's the name's the Gallifrey Battle Royal, and John Hurt's Doctor has been on Gallifrey the longest, I'd say. So, John Hurt's the War Doctor is the winner of the Gallifrey Battle Royal. Wow.
And there we go.
There we go. Now, to transition quickly from that into... That was pretty fun. I enjoyed that. To transition quickly into the weekly rec, do you have any idea of what the weekly rec will be?
I can hazard a guess. It's probably Doctor Who related.
Yes, it is. It is my weekly rec, and it is The Chase. Not the ITV programme that's presented by Bradley Walsh.
Bradley Walsh is back again.
Oh, no, it's not Bradley Walsh. The Chase is on. No, it is the serial episode, The Chase, which we used a song from. We used Ticket to Ride, which was in by the Beatles, which was in The Chase. It is the eighth episode of the second series. It's William Hartnell. It's First Doctor. It's Barbara Wright as Jacqueline Hill. We've got William Russell and Maureen O'Brien back again. So I think I said that the wrong way around the first time. But Ian and Barbara is Jacqueline Hill and William Russell, And the main enemy here is the Daleks. It's the classic Daleks as well. It's the classic, you know, bin and skirt and disco balls and big dome.
Yeah,
weird cut out eye stalk, yeah. You know, and they're against there's like an anti-Dalek type thing. It's the mechanoids, isn't it? It's the mechanoids.
Yeah.
They're sort of big spheres with the little sticks. Who actually, I think I've recently, they've come back. There's like an animated series or something that had the mechanoids in it.
Yeah. You are.
But the chase is there's a war between the Daleks and the Mechanoids, and the Doctor sort of gets in between that, between like multiple time periods. It's set on multiple planets. Earth is included, but the Daleks are traveling through time, pursuing the Doctor and trying to defeat the Mechanoids in war. So it's very interesting. We've got some historical characters appear. Abraham Lincoln shows up. Queen Elizabeth, Shakespeare.
Yep.
We have that classic Dalek voice that is very sort of grainy, high pitched Dalek voice that comes back. It's Peter Hawkins, I believe the man's name is.
Nice.
Who actually was played, if you've watched An Adventure in Space and Time, Peter Hawkins was played by Nick Briggs, which I think is quite funny.
Very nice.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
No, in An Adventure in Space and Time, Peter Hawkins, the original voice of the Daleks, is played by Nicholas Briggs.
Nice.
Which I think is quite funny. But yes, we have a lot of cool settings. We have the jungle planet where the Mechanoids are.
Yep.
We have the Dalek replicator on the Dalek ship where it's making all these new Daleks. We have classic England. We have Earth again. We have New York City, the Atlantic Ocean. It's full of settings, and it is the chase. It is a chase between the Doctor, the Mechanoids, and the Daleks. I think any Doctor Who story that can have sort of those three sort of factions against each other is a great story. Yeah. So, yeah, that is my weekly rec. It is the Doctor Who episode, episode 8 of the second season, is the chase, and I'll be rating it. I'll be reeling it.
What are you giving it?
Oh dear, tough.
Come on, man. You're leaving us in anticipation here.
Okay, I'm going to give it 7.9.
Oh, very specific.
Yeah, 7.9 reels, purely because I'm not going to give it an 8.
Yeah.
Purely because I think that, not that it's dated, but, you know, it's that classic black and white, classic Doctor Who style. The effects are a bit tacky, but it's like that classic sci-fi thing where, you know, every corridor is the same corridor.
Yeah.
It's that type of thing, but shot from a different angle. It's that type of thing. But that is why it gets the 7.9. But also, it's just a fantastically fun romp episode of the Doctor being pursued by the Daleks, pursued by the Mechanoids, pursued by the Daleks. So I think it's one of those great action episodes. Also, I love when Doctor Who sort of becomes a sci-fi action. That is always the best thing. But to play us out, we will be using a song from an episode, which is a Matt Smith episode. So he gets his a swan song. We're using the song Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran from the episode Cold War in 2013, which was the 8th episode of the 7th series with Matt Smith's 11th Doctor. That is the song to play us out. Hungry Like the Wolf.